Hello and welcome to the message portion. I'm really glad you joined us. If you're new this morning, I'm really glad that you found us online. And if you're one of our regulars, it's great to be here with you. It's great to see you seeing me see you once again. So my name is Richard Sockel. And so I'm going to tell just a quick little funny story, which will help frame today's message, which is about identity. So a few years ago, I was at the Ventura Housing Office for one of my clients, and I've been in advocacy and disability work for almost 30 years. And I was there meeting with one of the social workers, the caseworker, that was assigned to work with my client. And in the course of our conversation, the supervisor came into the office. And so she turned to her and said, "Oh, this is Richard Sockel." And she kind of had a puzzled look on her face, and she said, "I don't know you." And I thought, oh, this is really an awkward moment, but I saved the day. I said, "Well, that's okay. A lot of people don't know me." So, I saved her face, I think, and my face by being able to come back with something that was humorous. But today, I want to talk a little bit more with us about identity. So we are in a series called The Third Way, and we've had a great lineup, I think, of topics and messages so far. Bob began 3 weeks ago with a message about living in the world and being in Christ as the third way. Catherine shared with us about the way of shalom, the third way, the way of shalom. And then last week, Wayne talked about how to listen to the other so that the other becomes one of us. So I'd like to jump off from there today and talk about a very important thing that's on everyone's mind. It's about identity and asking the question, well, who am I? And so the title of today's message is Our Identity in Christ. So I want to build more off of Bob's message about living in the world and being in Christ, and look at this dimension of identity in the third way, the way of shalom. And we've been talking about the world is binary. So just by way of quick review, the world is binary. It's black, it's white, it's up, it's down, it's on, it's off. And it seems like there's the left or the right and nothing in between. It's one or the other. But what we have found out is that the third way offers a remedy to this way of thinking. It offers a remedy to the binary way of thinking and living, because living in the binary is the most natural way of living, but it's an unnatural way of being. To illustrate this, we see it even in the church, unfortunately. And several years ago, I was invited by a pastor friend of mine to come and meet with a group of other pastors who would get together regularly and they would play soccer. So I said I would go, and I'm not very fit and I don't really like to play soccer, and I'm certainly not good at it. I think the last time I played soccer, I was in elementary school. So I decided I would go, but I would just watch from the sidelines. And after a few minutes of play, one of the pastors approached me, and I thought, oh, great, here's a chance for me to meet somebody. He came up to me, and he asked me a question. He said, "Are you Catholic or Protestant?" I answered, "I'm Protestant." He said, "Are you Calvinist or Arminian?" And now I was starting to feel a little strange, and I had to kind of rifle back through my religious studies classes at Westmont College. "I'm Arminian," I stammered. He said, "So what do you believe?" And of course, I interrupted the interrogation, and I thought to ask him a question. I said, "Well, what's your name? Are you married? Do you have family?" And he brushed those questions aside and asked me again, "So what do you believe?" So again, now I was feeling really awkward. I thought, well, I'll try for simplicity's sake to just maybe tie it back to my friend. And I said, "Oh, well, my friend from the Vineyard, we're Vineyard pastors, and so we believe that." And so then again, I just tried to ask him, "So what do you, tell me your name, and tell me a little bit about yourself. He laughed and he walked away. So I felt so deflated and saddened by that conversation, because what was happening is that he was trying to size me up theologically. He was caught, God bless him, in the binary. And what that did was it prevented him from actually seeing me as a person. It was all about categories and about trying to fit me into a particular box or way or theological position. I don't know. It was a very strange interaction, obviously, but I just mention that because this same kind of thinking happens all the time in every context, including church contexts. So in religion and philosophy, in sociology and psychology, anthropology, so many disciplines, this question comes up again and again about identity. What does it mean to be human? And on a personal level, who am I? Who am I? And so this is a question that's on everybody's mind. You know, Billy Joel, in a song called Summer Highland Falls, he wrote this line. He said, "We are only what our situations hand us. It's either sadness or euphoria." So was Billy Joel right? Are we only what our situations hand us? Are we a product of our circumstances? Well, I propose that that is not correct, so I'm going to disagree with Billy Joel. And I'm going to talk about the third way identity, the third way of being in regards to our identity and being in Christ. So our identity in Christ. Now, one of the lectionary passages for today is in Genesis chapter 32. And I'll read a portion of that text in a moment. But as I was reading that and thinking about the third way, it really struck me how binary the world was, and, well, obviously is. But even then, in the life of Jacob, the first family of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was a very binary situation. It was a very binary family. And because of that, they experienced a lot of grief and problems. So let's read the story in Genesis 32 about Isaac. And this is the famous story, of Jacob. And this is the very famous story about Jacob wrestling with God. So we're going to pick it up in verse 24, so chapter 32, verses 24 through 30, and I'm reading from the Message version. And if your screen is big enough, feel free to read along. So picking up the story in verse 24, "But Jacob, he stayed behind by himself, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't get the best of Jacob as they wrestled, he deliberately threw Jacob's hip out of joint. The man said, 'Let me go, it's daybreak.' Jacob said, 'I'm not letting you go till you bless me.' The man said, 'What's your name?' He answered, 'Jacob.' The man said, 'But no longer. Your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, it's Israel, God wrestler. You've wrestled with God and you've come through.' Jacob asked, 'And what's your name?' The man said, 'Why do you want to know my name?' And then, right then and there, he blessed him." So this was an interesting story. It's spiritual, it's mystical, it's weird. But finally, after all the fighting was over and the darkness lifted, Jacob emerged with a new name, Israel. He actually began to have a new identity from that time forward. And he might have even heard his Jewish mother's voice in his head, "Jacob, don't wrestle, you'll break a hip." So taking into account is the third way of identity, being in Christ. We can be assured that there are new possibilities for us, new things ahead. And so in Christ, the authentic self is elevated and expanded, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. So in light of this third way of identity, the way of shalom, we already know that this has traction in our community. We've been for many years exploring knowing ourselves and knowing God as parallel paths. And so we have been developing things in the contemplative, prayer disciplines, spiritual disciplines, and using tools like the Enneagram and Strengths Finder, now called Clifton Strengths, among other things. And so this already has traction. And so I'm proud of us as a community for doing this, because I think it is really important. And this question is really on all of our minds. Who am I, and who am I in God? And so here in this story, Jacob receives a blessing and a limp simultaneously. So this encounter was a high point in his life. I saw the face of God, and it was also at a low point in his life, because he was worried about his life. He thought that his brother Esau was coming to kill him. And so, you know, it occurred to me as I saw this as our lectionary passage for today and trying to fit that in with our theme about the third way, it was just so clear that I could see, and I'm sure you could too, that this family is very binary. There's all kinds of binary going on in this family. And so even at birth, we have to go back a few chapters to pick it up in Genesis chapter 25 when Jacob and Esau are being born. And so we see that Jacob, he's smooth and suave. Esau, he's hairy and brutish. He's red. Jacob is not red. Esau is a man who likes to go out into the open country. He's a hunter. Jacob, on the other hand, is someone who likes to stay back behind in the tents and cook with his mother. His mother prefers Jacob. Esau's father prefers Esau. And so we see this binary and all of the damage and trouble that this way of being causes for the family. And yet, it's so encouraging that this is the first family of Scripture. And yet, despite all of their hangups and troubles and binary thinking and wrong thinking, God folds them and their developing identities into His plan of salvation for the whole world, for you and for me. It's quite encouraging. So now, let's just talk about this idea a little bit. So, you know, this binary way of thinking is actually quite destructive. We see it playing out in this family in a destructive way. We also seeing it on a macro level playing out in a destructive way in our world. It's you're either left or right, wrong or right. This is the binary way that surrounds us and envelops us. It can be consuming at times. And so here, this third way, this way of our identity in Christ, offers us something different. It offers us a different way of seeing. You know, and it occurred to me that so much of the spiritual life is about seeing. It's about seeing in a different way. It's about seeing the other. The binary way, categorizing, labeling, making an us and them, the consequences of that can be catastrophic. There's an inscription at a church in Rwanda where a terrible tragedy occurred. People had fled there. They were looking for refuge from the violence, and they were burned alive inside this church. It's an unspeakable tragedy. And there's an inscription there, and it says, "If you had known yourself, and if you had known me, you would not have killed me." And so this is the effect of the binary. It leads to violence, physical violence, psychological violence, economic instability, social inequality, and all kinds of other ills. And yet, we have this encouragement to think and to be in a new way. The binary is the most natural way of living, but it is an unnatural way of being. We fail to see. We fail to see ourselves, we fail to see the other, and we fail ultimately to see God. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 15, he was quoting Isaiah the prophet, "For this people's heart grows callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Seeing and hearing may come from encounter with the presence of God, or it may not. In Jacob's case, he had this powerful encounter, and yet, immediately after, he's still full of fear and anxiety. He thinks that his brother is going to kill him, and he executes a plan to send out his family ahead of him to sort of appease his brother, and it turns out that it works, and the two brothers, at least for the moment, are reconciled. But with these low points in life, with these difficulties, struggles, crises, there's an invitation and an opportunity to change. And that's what happened here with Jacob. He was in a low point. We are in a pandemic right now. Everything is changing from every angle. And some of us, we might find ourselves with a different work schedule. We might have a little bit more time on our hands. If we're moms with kids, school is at home. So now you're perhaps saving some time by not driving to and from school. Whatever the case, some of us are working on home projects because we're at home. And I just want to suggest that there's a home project here, this house, that we can attend to, that we can consider. And I will have some application exercises that I want to present for us at the end of the message, should you consider to take this another step after we end today. But this third way, and Catherine helped us with this, it's really about shalom, which means wholeness. It means bringing things together. It's an integration. It's an integration of disparate parts. Now, just to highlight or to illustrate, I have an analogy, and that is with chocolate cake. So chocolate cake has cocoa and it has sugar. Very opposite in taste. Cocoa, very bitter. Sugar, obviously sweet. Now, when I was a kid, I was already a chocolate lover. And my mother had in her pantry a tin of cocoa powder. And so I thought, this is chocolate, and I'm going to get some. So one day, when she wasn't looking, I snuck into the kitchen. I got a stool. I went into the cupboard. I pulled that tin of cocoa out. I popped open the top. I put a well-rounded spoon of cocoa in my mouth. And I got a very bitter disappointment. All that to say that, you know, decades later, I still remember that. I had no idea that chocolate was bitter. But together, the chocolate and the sweetness of the sugar make this beautiful thing that we call chocolate cake. And I think it's just, it is analogous to our lives, you know, because it's taken all together, the sweet, the bitter, the good, and the bad. And this is the non-binary way. This is the third way of integrating all these things together to find our identity, to find our shalom and our wholeness and fullness that comes from being in Christ. Another analogy I'd like to use is just the idea of light. So if you take light and you shine it through a prism, you can see all the various colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, vibrant colors woven all together that make light. And you and I in Christ are the light of the world. So again, returning to names, Jacob, he was a heel grasper. He was given that label and he lived into it. He deceived his father. He deceived his father to receive a blessing, something he dearly longed for and desired. So Jacob was born into a binary family, a binary situation. His father loved his brother Esau. His mother loved him. So there was this struggling, this wrestling. You had favoritism in the family, and it was actually even passed down through the generations because the previous generation, Abraham, had done the same thing with his son, Isaac. He had given Isaac everything he owned, and he ignored or pushed aside his other children. the label that Jacob was given as a deceiver, it was something that he lived into. He conspired to deceive his father along. It was actually his mother's idea, but he conspired with her to deceive his father to get the father's blessing. He also manipulated his brother into getting the birthright. I'm not even sure that that was something that he could manipulate into. It wasn't his decision. But the difference is that when Jacob, the deceiver, the heel grasper, when he wrestled with God, the longing of his heart was actually fulfilled in that he did get the blessing from his heavenly father. He got it authentically, and he received his real name. His true identity was revealed through this wrestling with God. It's quite amazing and stunning. So Jacob, he was a heel grasper. And can you imagine your parents naming you deceiver? It's hard to wrap my head around that. But so there's all of these dynamics going on, and they were living according to their labels. And through their journey and the intervention of God in their lives, their actual God names became their destiny. And so a name is very important. And I just want to, as we kind of wrap this up and move towards the end of the message, I want to talk a little bit about our context and our situation now. So we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's the strangest, most difficult time in living memory for so many. So many are struggling and wrestling with changes from everywhere and in every way. But that can also be a good news thing for us too, because now we have an invitation, an opportunity to do some home projects. So while we're at home, we can do some homework. And so I just want to talk a little bit about reorientation and reinvention, like we saw in the Jacob story. It didn't mean that all his problems suddenly went away or that things were magically better, but it did put him in a different place and on a different trajectory. So with regards to that, I want to read a text. This is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. From Jeremiah reading, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?' declares the Lord. 'Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel.'" Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. So to help you engage this message a little bit later on your own, or possibly with friends or even family, I created three application exercises. I'm going to put those up on the screen. And the exercises come in three sizes, so small, medium, and large. So small size application exercise is this. So go to a mirror and say, "Hey, you are beautiful. You are a gift." And say that three times. And notice how you feel. The second medium size exercise is this. So ask God in prayer about your God name. Ask him the question, "What is my name?" Or you can ask God this way, "How do you see me?" So notice what you feel, any images, any words that come to mind, any impressions. Write that down in a journal or share it with someone. The third application exercise, size large, is to read David Benner's book, The Gift of Being Yourself. And some of the women in our church have just completed a book study on this, and I highly recommend it. I've used some of the ideas from the book in today's message. So David Benner's book, The Gift of Being Yourself. So talk about what you've read with a good friend or find someone you trust to process with. So to end, let me just say this. You, the real and authentic you, is a gift. It's a gift to your family. It's a gift to the world. So even with all your flaws and all your shortcomings, it's greatly comforting and reassuring to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verse 14. You know, one of my favorite authors and teachers, Brennan Manning, he would often say in services or in service sermons, excuse me, God loves you just as you are and not as you should be. God doesn't just merely tolerate us despite our flaws. He loves us with all of our flaws. He loves us all together. He loves us with our sin and our hang-ups. And it's not a theological necessity for him. He's not compelled to love us. He's not forced to love us. He really does love us. It's agape. It's divine love. And more than loving us, God likes us. He really and truly likes us. And the way of identity, this third way, is so important. And like I said, it's already got traction in our church. One other important book you might consider reading is called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. He devotes a whole chapter to this idea that we know ourselves in order to know God. So knowing ourselves and who we are in Christ, it's different than pursuing self-fulfillment. Self-fulfillment on its own, or self-actualization on its own, is incomplete because it's not in Christ. And only in Christ is it complete. So knowing ourselves in Christ is freedom, and it is part of an abundant life. So I'd like to close with a couple of quotes, one from David Benner, who I mentioned, and he says this: "Sanctity, meaning holiness or saintliness, is finding our hidden and true self in Christ and living out the life that flows from this self in surrender to the loving will and presence of our Heavenly Father. In this, Christ leads many sons and daughters to the Father and to the freedom of being our true self." And that's David Benner from The Gift of Being Yourself. So you are a gift. You, the real and authentic you, is a greater gift. And I would like to close with this wonderful quote from Thomas Merton, who is arguably one of the most important contemplatives of the last century. So Thomas Merton wrote this: "There is only one problem on which all my existence, my peace, and my happiness depend: to discover myself in discovering God. If I find Him, I will find myself. And if I find my true self, I will find Him." Thomas Merton. So the process of knowing ourselves, it's for now, it's for all of us, it's for always, and it is in the third way, which is our identity in Christ. So God bless you.